8:07 on WBAL. Brian Niemann with you on this Monday morning. We turn our attention away from coronavirus for a second and talk about the streets of Baltimore and obviously the violence we've seen for quite some time in this city. There is a fascinating article. Chasita Giles joins us now. She's written about this. She works for Kaiser Health News. Stories in the New York Times about life in Baltimore, the death that we see, unfortunately, every single day in Baltimore, and what it's like at the street level, if you will. She had to talk to a barber who cuts hair for those who are alive and, unfortunately, for those who have died as well for their final haircut, if you will. She joins us now to talk about it. Great to have you on the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
Hi, thank you. So I work for Kaiser Health News. The two get confused all the time, but Kaiser Health News is not part of Kaiser Permanente.
I apologize for that. Kaiser Health News, but the article is in the New York Times, and you have talked with a barber. Antoine Dow is his name. I have that right, right?
Yes.
Who has been cutting hair for a long, long time, and he is also asked to cut hair for those who are going to be buried. Tell me what he told you.
So me and him talk often. He knows I'm a healthcare reporter, and I'm passionate about ending gun violence, especially in African-American communities. And it was one particular client that he told me about where it just kind of struck me, because with this client, he was telling me that he couldn't finish giving him his haircut at the funeral home because he needed to go back to the shop to get hair off the floor to try and cover up a gunshot wound in the client's head. Mm. And that was when I was like, I need to write about this.
Mm. I want to play sound. You were kind enough to send us some sound of this conversation. This is what he was talking about, how, you know, sometimes people come in or he gets somebody who he's known, who he's cut their hair before, didn't even recognize.
Well, okay, when I walked into the room and saw his body, I didn't recognize him because, you know, the trauma to the skull was so bad, you know, and it looked like him being on the, you know, just in that fridge for 2 weeks. He just looked like he's, you know, he aged. I had to ask, was this the right person? And they said, yes, you know, it's the right person. He just didn't look like himself. He didn't look good. After I finished servicing him, I called the mom and told her I did the best I could do. It wasn't much I could do. So I did the best I could.
Absolutely heartbreaking. How often does he have to do this? Do you know?
Last year, it was more than I noticed the frequency of it. He told me about 8 of his clients were murdered last year. Mm.
So this is a part of almost like a part of his job then. I mean, in a sense.
Exactly. And that's kind of the point of this, what we hope to be a series on neighborhoods where gun violence becomes a part of daily life.
How is it getting better, or is it not getting better? Does he say it's been worse? I mean, we see the numbers here in Baltimore all the time. I mean, we watched it last year, really statistically the worst year it's ever been. Does he have much hope? I'm curious.
I think he sees it getting worse. What's interesting, or what was striking to me about talking to him and talking to everyone in the shop that day, the days that I did the interviews, is that there was no one in the barbershop who hadn't either been shot themselves, including the barber who's been shot before, or knew someone that had been shot. And it was just kind of this sense of acceptance that, you know, this is what life is like in West Baltimore.
Wow. So he himself has been shot, huh? What did he say about that?
I think most people would have moved out of the neighborhood
by
now. So I commend him for staying in the community and keeping his business open in the community and still, you know, being a mentor. You know, barbershops are places where people gather and they discuss what's going on in the neighborhood. So I commend him for not moving away and still staying in the neighborhood. A lot of people know him and respect him in the neighborhood. I mean, I just think it's really brave, especially after, you know, being shot. And that was an instance where he was intervening in an argument that someone had with one of his clients, and the client ended up being murdered.
Do you say in this piece, it's kind of fascinating, that one of the places where African-American men feel the most comfortable, or where they feel like they're safe, is in the actual barbershop?
Yeah, and I think that's because, you know, that's where they can talk honestly with each other. They have, you know, they have the dialogue there. You know, his chair is positioned right in front of the shop door, so no one's getting in that shop unless they get past him. And he's not a small guy. So I think they feel safe in there just because they know him and he's well known, and he tells everyone to be safe. And I think because he makes himself so visible in the community, I think that's why they feel safe there.
Is he seen as kind of like a big brother or like a father figure to some?
I mean, Quante, the other barber that's in the shop, sees him kind of like a father figure. He said that. I think they do see him as a big brother. And I think they see him as kind of something to aspire to because he's kind of different in the community. You know, he makes it a point to speak well. He's always in the shop playing like educational videos. If he has, and I've seen this happen, if there's a mom that, you know, her children don't have a father figure, he might take those kids out with his sons. He has two young sons, and take them to Dave and Buster's or something like that. So wow. He's just a very, I mean, he's really passionate about youth. So I just think everyone kind of sees him as like you said, the big brother or like an uncle.
Jacita, great to have you on. Thanks very much for sharing your story. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jacita Giles, who works for Kaiser Health News, an article in the New York Times about a Baltimore barber who's with his clients through life and through death. 814 on WBAL.